that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Well, if you want to sing out, sing out.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Today we take you to Reading's Old City Hall, where for the Valentine season, Axiom Repertory Theater is presenting an oddball love story, the stage version of a cult movie classic, Harold and Maude. We'll hear from the director and from the cast. On today's program, we'll be visiting Chico Art Center to talk with the gallery director, Cameron Kelly, about the current exhibition, Discovery Series 2018, where you can discover several talented North State art makers, artists whose works you may not yet have seen. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
The Shasta College Art Gallery in Reading features the exhibit Selections from the Shasta College Permanent Art Collection. See these recent acquisitions at the Art Department, Building 300, during the day, Monday through Friday, 8 to 4, or in the evening, Monday through Thursday, 6 to 9. This is your final weekend to see the production The Man from Earth at Riverfront Playhouse in Reading. The last performances of this science fiction drama of ideas are tonight and tomorrow at 7:30. The Orland Art Center's latest exhibit, The Artist and the Camera, features images from the members of the Tehama County Photo Club. The center's open Tuesday through Saturday, 1 to 6. Chico Theater Company ends its production of the Broadway musical, A Chorus Line. This funny and heartbreaking look into the lives of professional dancers plays tonight and tomorrow at 7:30, with the final performance Sunday at 2. Tonight, at Chico State's Laxon Auditorium, the Moscow Festival Ballet performs the classic tale Sleeping Beauty, beginning at 7:30. Then Tuesday at Laxon Auditorium, Cirque Eloise lassos up fun for the whole family with its show, The Wild West Comes Alive. Gather your posse because this acrobatic comedy begins at 7:30. At MALCA, the Museum of Northern California Art, the exhibit, What? Us Worry? Features the sculptures of Tony Natsoulis, Paul DePasqua, and Michael Stevens. MALCA, on the Esplanade across from Chico High School, is open Thursday through Saturday, 11 to 5. The current exhibit at the Jackie Headley University Art Gallery at Chico State, Revolutionizing the World, the Russian Revolution at its Centenary, visually explores the history of the Russian Revolution and its impact on the world. The galleries open Monday through Friday, 10 to 4, and Saturday, noon to 4. At Chico State's Janet Turner Print Museum, the exhibition Surprise, New Acquisitions. Enjoy recent additions to the collection. The Turner is open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 4. A Beautiful Life Furnishings in Chico presents Dueling Divas, North State Agricultural and Fantasy Paintings by Dolores Mitchell, and Whimsical Ceramic Sculptures by Margaret Allen. The stores open Wednesday through Saturday, 11 to 5. In Paradise, Theater on the Ridge invites you to its last weekend of Living on Love, a comedy of music, marriage, and celebrity. Showtimes are tonight and tomorrow at 7:30, with the final show Sunday at 2. At the Paradise Performing Arts Center, Dark Star Orchestra recreates the Grateful Dead's music live. That's on Valentine's evening, Wednesday, February 14th, starting at 7. In Yuba City, the Acting Company presents The Last 5 Years, an emotional and intimate musical about a pair of young New Yorkers who fall in and out of love. Curtain times, 7:30 tonight and tomorrow, plus 2 o'clock on Sunday. That's the calendar for this week. Pulitzer Prize-winning author Alice Walker has a birthday today. "I have fallen in love with the imagination," Walker admitted. "And if you fall in love with the imagination, you understand that it's a free spirit. It will go anywhere, and it can do anything."
In Reading, Axiom Repertory Theater just opened a new stage production, a most unusual love story based on a cult movie classic from the 1970s. Coming up, we'll be speaking with the director and with actors from that production. An integral part of the cult movie original was this song by Cat Stevens.
Well, if you want to sing out, sing out. And if you want to be free, be free. 'Cause there's a million things to be, you know that there are. And if you want to live high, live high. And if you want to live low, live low. 'Cause there's a million ways to go, you know that there are. You want the opportunities on, and if you find a new way, you can do it today, you can make it all true, and you can make it undo. You see, ah, it's easy, ah, you only need to know. Well, if you want to say yes, say yes. And if you want to say no, say no. 'Cause there's a million ways to go, you know that there are. And if you want to be me, be me. And if you want to be you, be you. 'Cause there's a million things to do, you know that there are. You can do what you want, the opportunity's on. And if you find a new way, you can do it today. You can make it all true, and you can make it undo. You see, ah, it's easy, ah, you only know. Well, if you want to sing out, sing out. And if you want to be free, be free. 'Cause there's a million things to be. You know that there are, 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 you know that there are.
I'm Kelly Frost, and I'm at the rehearsal for Axiom Repertory Theater of Harold and Maude with the director. And can you tell me your name?
Cassie McEachin.
Tell me a little bit about the play, maybe a brief synopsis.
Well, you've got Harold, who's a young boy, about 19 or 20. He's lived in this world of trying to please his mom and find an outlet for all of his creativity, if you will. And Maude, who is on the verge of turning 80, and the two of them meet. It's a wonderful opportunity for Harold to learn about life and finding himself. It's just this great, different kind of love story.
And I've been watching the rehearsal, and those two characters both seem like they've got issues.
They definitely do, from different points of view. You know, Maude has lived her life, and she's got lots of eccentric ideas and thoughts and lives her life any way she wants. And then there's Harold, who is constantly trying to gain his mother's attention, if you will, through suicides and
theatrics, I think, yes, would be a good word. Yeah. There's a lot of screaming on stage.
Yes, definitely. We've got a lot of women who come into this environment and see what Harold does. They don't know how to handle it because he's, you know, performing his theatrics in front of them, and they have no idea how to take it.
Tell me your name and the name of the character you play.
My name is Brandon Nascimento, and I'm playing Mrs. Helen Chasen, Harold's mother.
I heard some interesting things about your character.
Mrs. Chasen's quite controlling and eager to marry off her son. She's socially prominent and wants to keep it that way, and Harold's making it very hard for her.
And how old is her son?
He is 19.
He's interested in an 80-year-old woman?
Much to Mrs. Chasen's chagrin, that is correct. He is.
Well, how does she deal with that?
She loses it a little bit. She has a little mini breakdown.
All right. Sounds like a couple people have breakdowns in this play.
Yes, they do. Thanks to Harold. He's good at causing them.
Hi, I'm Christian Redmill, and I'm actually playing two characters in this show. I will be Nancy Mersch and Sunshine Dore, Harold's second and third dates. It's really fun. It's a really good experience, especially because both of the dates are complete opposites. It's really made me grow as an actor.
Tell me your name and the name of your character.
Sally Romo, and I play Sylvie Gazelle, a sorority girl. Very sassy, very in with the crowd, popular girl. She thinks it would be fun to go on a date with Harold when she finds out who he is. He has a family who's wealthy, and she is very into that and being a housewife. This is my actual first show ever. I've always been intrigued by acting and just theater. I told myself when I was 30 that I would get into it.
Really? This is your first production?
Yes.
And how are you liking it?
I love it so far. Everything has been really good. I like improv. Being on script is a little bit harder than I thought. My character, she freaks out on stage. I would think that that would come naturally to me, but it actually doesn't, and it's a lot harder to freak out on stage in 10 seconds than you would think it would be.
So how does it go? I mean, do you get to go on a date with him?
Actually, no, we don't get to go on a date. I meet his mother. So basically, we're going on a date with his mother. She meets us, and then she determines if she likes us or not because she doesn't like anybody. But we do get to meet Harold within that date with the mother, but we never actually make it a date because we all freak out.
My name is Bob Koraluk, and in Harold and Maude, I play Inspector Bernard.
Is he really going after this person who steals and does all kinds of nefarious things?
He's been after her for some time. He wants to get the goods on her, but she always manages to slip out of it. He's determined before he retires. He's going to get his dues, and she's going to get her comeuppance.
Does she?
Yes and no.
We'll leave it at that and let the audience come see the show.
My name is Che Stedman, and I'm actually playing two characters. One is simply called The Gardener, and the other one is Sergeant Doppel, a police officer figure.
Sounds like The Gardener may not have a big part.
Interestingly enough, The Gardener has a pretty substantial role, and he is one of the few characters that is completely unenamored with the character of Maude. I would say that the inspector and the gardener both just don't fall for her charm. He's basically just a working stiff. He doesn't have time. He doesn't have much humor. He just wants her out of his way, gone, much like the inspector. Whereas my other character, Sergeant Doppel, is, well, he finds himself charmed by her. In fact, most people do. She has this ability to capture people in her aura. She's elderly, she's 80, and yet spry and charming and kind of cute. So she gets away with murder. Oh my God, she gets away with so much. The sergeant, well, I guess he's supposed to be curtailing her activities, but really? I mean, she's 80. She's harmless. So he just leaves her be.
When you say she gets away with murder, now, is that literally?
No. She does, let's see. She steals a ton of cars, for example. In fact, she's got very sticky fingers. She lifts a lot of things with the greatest of intention, it's true. With charm and great caring, and I think the audience will completely agree with her, but let's face it, she steals everything. Everything. She steals a seal. Like a seal. Yeah.
A real seal?
Yes. I wish we could have that on stage.
You almost sound enamored with this character.
Well, that's the idea. I think the way that Sergeant Doppel is played, for me, is from the audience point of view. We know that she's wrong. It's true. We know that she shouldn't be doing the things that she's doing. But we're voting for her. We're rooting for her. In fact, we kind of want to be her. These are the type of things that we would like to think that we would do if we were either brave enough, didn't care, or had that strong of an altruistic streak. Because she really does do it for the best interests, but it's still wrong. My character, Sergeant Doppel, I'm supposed to arrest her. But honestly, she's not actually bad. She's not cruel. She's not evil. She's just mischievous.
I'm Elsie Ritchie, and I'm playing the Countess Matilda Chardin, also known as Maud.
Sort of a bad lady.
I wouldn't consider myself bad. I'm just living my life and living freely with an open heart, trying to, you know, give my gift of joie to as many people as will accept it.
The play's called Harold and Maud. You're Maud, and then Harold is a 19-year-old boy. Tell me about your relationship with him.
Well, one of the interesting things about the character of Maud is, you know, she's already lived all of her life. When we meet her, this is really the last week of her life as she's choreographed it. I don't think she expected to meet Harold, but when she does, she recognizes in him a kindred spirit. They develop this wonderful friendship that fully evolves into a very loving expression. Then she gives him that gift of being himself.
Maud is 80 years old?
79 when we meet her, and having her 80th birthday at the end of the play.
How do you enjoy playing this character?
I love playing Maud. When I saw the movie when I was a kid, I was kind of appalled by it. But discovering it through this play has been such a gift. The experience of developing a character who's lived their whole life is something very new in terms of what kind of preparation that takes. We have a wonderful cast. Harold is just the perfect Harold, and I couldn't be happier.
I'm talking to Harold of Harold and Maud. Tell me your real name.
Michael Jones.
He's a complicated character.
He's definitely different. That's kind of summed up the experience of learning how to play Harold the right way. He's very nuanced. Definitely sticks out like a sore thumb. Harold's pretty demented. I had to learn how to be a demented, though sometimes thoughtful, hormonal 19-year-old.
He's 19 years old, and his mother is trying to marry him off, but he didn't really seem interested in any of them except for Maud.
There's something about an 80-year-old woman and a reserved, kind of psychopathic 19-year-old boy that just really gets the juices flowing.
Tell me what it's like to play this character.
A lot of what I try to do in the play is get shock value out of my mother and out of my potential dates, but the only person I'm not trying to scare out of their mind is Maud, and that's where the romance comes in. I think that the only thing that really makes Harold nervous in this play is when he's around Maud, and that's when the attraction starts to form. He's kind of living his life in sort of the twilight zone, half awake and half asleep, till Maud actually shows him what it means to live instead of going through life like a zombie.
For this pre-Valentine's Day weekend, Axiom Repertory Theater in Reading is presenting Harold and Maud, a love story like no other. That's on stage tonight at 7:30, tomorrow night at 7:30, and Sunday at 2 o'clock at Reading's Old City Hall.
This is Dolores Mitchell, and today I'm speaking with Cameron Kelly, the director of the gallery at Chico Arts Center, talking about an event that starts at 5:15 tonight, the Discovery Series, starting with a panel discussion.
This is an annual juried exhibition geared towards artists that have had limited local exposure in Chico. I'm very excited about the Discovery Series this year. Lisa Friedman Wood, one of Chico Art Center's board of directors, and I were the jurors. Our task was to look for bodies of artwork that stood out on their own, but also would exhibit well as a group exhibition. What ended up resulting was the theme local texture. This term local texture is used by poets to analyze and describe poetry. We found this term fun and familiar. Many of our artists are local. All of them are Northern California. Each of them use texture in very, very different ways and for their own devices. This is really something that stood out among these five artists. There are five media that are being used in various ways. Really a lot of delight for the eyes and hopefully for the hearts and minds.
I'm going to turn now to one of the artists in the exhibition, John Schmidt. What will you be showing?
This is a continuation of an acceptance process I'm going through. About 4.5 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer, and my first instinct was to paint about learning to accept death, live with some serenity with that. Once I got through that, then I said, I'm pretty comfortable with that now. I guess I better start focusing on how to live. So this is about studying two kinds of life. One is the life of nature all around me. My most comfortable place to seek serenity and be with nature is in forests. The second was to be with a forest of people to learn their experience of what it's like to be a human being beyond the narrow vision I had before I got cancer and knew that I was no longer going to be that person.
You were telling me earlier Van Gogh was one of your inspirations, and of course he went through a great deal of suffering in his own life.
I was particularly attracted to his style of painting, more of an abstract style, and his use of color. There was something that connected me to his stories of life. He just got me very interested in art in general. The Amsterdam Museum was an amazing experience to have seen. I got shivers in that place.
I should let listeners know there are two artists in the five-person series who are not here today, Ellen Headfield and Anne Sanderson. However, I do have now Richard Robinson, who has a unique medium.
I'd like to paint with paper. How I do that is I paint the paper first, finger paint it, let it dry, then I apply it to the board. It's very similar to painting. You mix acrylic together with your brush and then you put it on the board or the canvas and let it dry. I paint the palette, let it dry, then I apply it to the board. The painting process happens in the middle rather than at the end.
That results in a very different kind of physical and even mental involvement.
I have to think ahead of time what I'm going to do. What color am I going to put on top of this color? I'm not going to cover up the entire board. Some of the color is still going to come through. I don't know where. I kind of let the board decide that. It's a different process of thinking altogether.
Had you always worked like that?
No, I was broke. My son had just gone to college and we had bought a car and I was getting ready for retirement. As an art major, and my wife was too, we had leftovers and all of our paints were dry. But we had soft pastels laying around the house, and I thought, well, I'll work with that. I don't like pastels because they're chalky and they smear and they blow around. I found out that if you mix clear acrylic varnish with that, you can turn it into acrylic paint. So I started painting pieces of paper and applying them to the board. It was totally different for me. At first, I wasn't very good at it, but I've been doing it for years. I have a knack for it. Now that we're out of debt and we've got the money, I could afford paint, but I'm not going to go back to painting. I'm having fun doing what I'm doing right now.
This group, they've not met each other or worked together before this series, though there are some common interests, such as the love of Van Gogh. Our next interviewee, Christine Muratori-Evans.
I have to say I agree totally with John's feelings about Van Gogh. This is a person in art history so uniquely undefinable. He didn't just fit as a painter, he fit as a sculptor, he fit as a visionary, and he fit as somebody unusual in his own skin.
What has your journey in art been like, Christine?
It's insane, but it's a joyful insanity. I think what happens with artists is that we know that we have a voice, as everyone does, but our voice needs a visual outlet. We speak through our material, which has a voice too. Part of being an artist is not only the self-expression of the object or event, it is actually stopping for a moment and saying what the medium tells you. And I think that's what happens in this co-relationship. It's not just a one identity, it's multiple identities. The subject matter, the artist, and the material. It is always at odds, and it's always playfully engaging each other.
And what will you be showing in this exhibition?
Three pieces. They are derivative of fabric in motion. When fabric goes into motion, it creates folds and billows, and it then becomes something else. It's not just material. It's actually a landscape, but the landscape does not have trees or water or mountains. What I like to do is get into the fabric folds so intensely, the shadows become more lines, more shapes, and the journey begins inward rather than outward. These three pieces, although initially you'll walk up to them and identify them as fabric, when you stand there long enough, you're going to hopefully see a journey that invites the Van Gogh vision.
This is happening at the Chico Arts Center, 450 Orange Street, right in the Amtrak train station at 5th Street and Orange. The panel discussion will be 5:15 tonight with a reception following. Come and discover the Discovery Series.
And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this program at its regular broadcast time, you can hear it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in the North State. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.